So the reading is taken from Proverbs 29, verse 18, and it can be found on page 666 of the Bibles. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. This is the word of the Lord. So Trevor's going to bring us our gospel reading, if you would stand.
Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 4 and verses 14 to 22. You can find this on 1031 in your church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Loving God, thank you for your vision to us of what we are to be and do as a people who follow Christ. May our hearts and minds be open to receive what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do be seated. Barbara, can I have the first slide up? Is that okay? So, over the last year, the PCC have been working hard, really hard, to update and think about our vision and values at St. Michael's. So for our vision, we were looking at who we are as a community of God's people, to try to, as the PCC, articulate our personality, if you like, as a group. What are our characteristics? What is God calling us to do, and who is God calling us to be? And then we looked at our values to think, how do we do what we do? So I want to introduce you today to the vision part of that work that we were doing, which has been agreed by St. Michael's PCC. And next week, we'll think about the values that we came to think were important as to how we do things here at St. Michael's. So let me just read the vision to you. St. Michael's vision is to demonstrate in our actions that God loves all people unconditionally. We aim to join with God in the building of God's kingdom. We desire to be a church fully involved with our community, who tells the story of Jesus, offers compassion and kindness to all, and who work to make the world a fairer place. Okay, so we'll just have that up in the background a little bit as we work through. Because you might be thinking, you know, I mean, the PCC spent quite a lot of time on this. We've had a number of meetings together. We've looked at what the Bible says about vision, what the general vision of a church community should and must be, and also what our particular vision is to be based on who we actually are in this place, particular to us. And you might say, well, what's the point? Why do that? Why invest that time in doing that kind of thing? The thing is that vision is important for human beings. We see this both in the stories of the Bible, which is full of visions, and also in the stories of people in our contemporary society, where the vision of maybe a certain person carries the people to a place that they want themselves and perhaps the rest of society to be. So Martin Luther King is one of these sorts of people, and he says, "I have a dream," and others catch that vision and follow him. So vision is actually a fundamental driver of human purpose. And for Christians, we seek first to find our vision from the biblical stories that we find of God at work in human history. In fact, I think we would want to say that the Bible is one long vision of where God wants to take us and what the end is going to be when God comes and makes all things right. The vision of a time when there is justice for all. There's no weeping, no pain, no death. We find the beginnings of that vision in the Luke passage, which was read, and we find it very clearly in Revelation 21, where it talks about all things being sort of brought to their purpose in God, God's kingdom coming. The big picture, which is threaded from the beginning of the Bible right the way through to the end, is a trajectory. It isn't just static stories of people. And often, you know, we pick bits out, don't we? And we're looking at a particular story and we're thinking, how does that help us live our Christian life? And that's good, and we should do that. But actually, they're not just those stories for us to pick and read and think about. They're joined together in a trajectory in which all creation, us and the whole cosmos, is being focused towards and drawn towards this vision of the perfected creation, of God's kingdom finally coming. And I'm going to share a big word with you now. And you can either choose to forget it, or at least if I say it and put it up on the screen, then if you hear it again, you might think, oh yes, I know what that means. This perspective on life and on what God is doing with God's creation is called, it was bigger when I did. I think it's changed in the translation into this computer. It's called eschatological. It's a good word, isn't it? Eschatological. That is what this perspective of moving towards this perfected creation is called. What it means is that we are always to be orientated towards the eschaton, Okay, and the eschaton is just that time when Jesus will come. Some people have called it the second coming. You know, when God will come and put everything right and God's kingdom will come in all its fullness. That's what it means. So we are to be a people who are eschatologically focused because we are moving towards the eschaton. We're not static. We're not just our little stories. We are on a journey. All of the stories in the Bible are faced in that direction. In the Proverbs verse that we read, we hear about a people, that people without a vision are in danger. Now, as was obvious there are slightly different ways of translating that particular verse. So we have, often now it's translated, where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraint. Or where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Or where there is no vision, the people perish. And actually, all these different translations are trying to say something about the fact that if we don't have people who will sort of hold a picture in front of us, or who will keep telling the story within us and to us of where we are going and the type of people or the type of community we want to be, then we're likely to forget. We're likely to forget. As we heard last week, if you were here last week, with the people in the wilderness, we're likely to stay too long on this mountain and forget where we're going, become so focused on where we are. So without those among us who are willing or kind of anointed by God to be those prophets, those casters of a vision, and to help us articulate the vision and then to keep articulating it, we're in danger of getting stuck or lost or going round in circles. And in fact, in that Proverbs verse, it says the people without the vision or the prophecy will cast off restraint or they'll perish. And basically what that means is that if we don't keep our eyes on the prize, and that prize being God and God's kingdom, then we easily forget it entirely. If we don't keep focused on what our purpose is, then we forget God's kingdom and we forget the laws of God, it says in one of those translations. And we do whatever we want to get to wherever we want to get to, which in the biblical stories never ends well. And that's why it says in one of those translations, the people perish, because they end up wandering off, because they're not focused. Keeping headed in that eschatological direction is the way of blessing and well-being for us, but also for the entire cosmos. Even when sometimes, as we're headed in that direction, we have moments of difficulties and all that, essentially being focused and headed in the right direction will bring well-being and blessing in the end. But of course, that long-term vision, well, it's a big word, and sometimes it feels too big for us to keep hold of, for us to contemplate. And it was too big for those in the biblical stories too. You know, you can understand why people got stuck on mountains or got sort of stuck faffing about in the hill countries. I think that was one of the other places they got stuck last week. So human beings need more short-term visions, more immediate visions too. And that's where in the Bible we have things like Joseph's dreams, where they take him and, in fact, through him, the entire people of Israel at that time, which was the tribe of Jacob's sons. They take them all onto their next stage of the journey. But their next stage of the journey is always part of that bigger journey, the eschatological journey. And we see those visions come to us in contemporary society as well, such as Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream, which was, of course, a Christian vision, taking him and really that community that he was part of, but also North America, onto the next stage of their particular journey. But Martin Luther King saw that this particular vision of human rights for people of all ethnicities to be understood as made in the image of God and as equal, that was fundamental to heading in the right direction of God's kingdom coming in all its fullness. And so while he was doing that over there, other people in other places are stepping forward into the next stage of their journey, but they're all going forwards to the eschaton, to the coming of God's kingdom. We need, God's people need the visionaries to help us see the next stage. In Luke's passage, you have this wonderful inauguration of God's kingdom coming in Jesus and him saying, I have come to, this is the day of the Lord's favor. I've come to free the captives, to give the blind sight, to help the lame walk. That's what God's kingdom is about. But we see in this passage the danger of not allowing the visionaries in and of being a people who lack imagination. So at the end of that passage where they say, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, is not this Joseph's son? That just about says it all. They couldn't quite see past what they thought they knew about who Jesus was. Is this not just Joseph's son? To the actual unfolding reality ahead of them, being stretched out before them, all of time and space and reality and cosmos, the creator of the universe, all sort of converging in this one space in history. Everything you've known and everything there is going to be is made sense of here in this moment, in this person. And they say, is not this Joseph's son? We've all done that, lacked the imagination to see what is before us. And one of the things that we did as a PCC was to think about this just for a moment, about whether anything like this had been spoken over St. Michael's, something that would maybe curtail our imagination about who we are and who God has called us to be. Is that not just St. Michael's? I don't know. You might have things that you've heard or have just seeped in there. It's just something to ponder, because those kind of things do need to be prayed about if that's something that we're holding. Their power needs to be broken if they are preventing us from being eschatologically focused and stopping us from imagining where God is taking us. So when the PCC thought about this vision that God has for St. Michael's, we had that sense that it needs this, a certain number of components. Firstly, it would need to have something in it about being involved in the bigger eschatological vision, that building God's kingdom stuff which might seem a long-term thing, too big a vision to hold. But we need to make sure that whatever our particular vision is about who we are, that it's always about being part of the next stage of that bigger journey. Secondly, it would need to say something in particular about who St. Michael's is. It would need to be something that was recognisably us, St. Michael's. Other churches are called to other things. What is God calling us to be and to do in this next stage of our life as we travel this long journey? And kind of thirdly and fourthly, the vision needs to be something that is both realistic and aspirational. In other words, we don't want to just stay on this mountain, which is realistic, but we're not going anywhere. And we don't want to say something akin to, well, we shall be those who fly to the moon or something, but actually we don't have any astronauts' money, rockets, or inclination to go there. You know, there's too many stages in between, and we get disillusioned before we even begin. So the thinking and praying and information gathering of the PCC brought forth particular patterns about who we are at St. Michael's, which we wanted to include in the vision that we think God is giving us. So you'll be able to see some of that here. There was a lot about how much we wanted people to know that God loves them, that we believe that God has given this particular community of St. Michael's over many years a particular sort of spirit of love and welcome and caring and compassion and kindness. And so in the vision of who we are, we wanted that to be reflected, a significant part of what we said about ourselves. We also had a sense of being set at the heart of a community, you know, from the very beginning, a tent right in the midst. This is something that has evolved over the years. And the understanding of what it means to be a church at the heart of the community changes. And I think, you know, St. Michael's has grown and evolved a little bit on that particular subject over the last 15 to 20 years or so, becoming a place of wanting to invite people in, not just on the Sundays, but being a building and using this particular building to bless that community in God's name. And this, of course, is also a sort of mini explanation of what it actually means to build God's kingdom. Because saying build, you know, God's kingdom, that's a bit of a jargony Christian phrase, isn't it? And sometimes we don't know what it means. Building God's kingdom has in the past often been used as almost like a sort of euphemism for making the church congregation bigger, you know, bums on seats on Sundays. But that isn't the totality of what building God's kingdom is about. Part of building God's kingdom is telling the story of Jesus, and is wanting to see people come to know and be in a relationship with Jesus, because that's what we believe is going to be the best for them. It's how people become fulfilled and satisfied in who they are, because they were made by God, and so being in a relationship with God is going to bring them to the full fruitfulness of who they can be. And because we love them, that's what we want for them. So, of course, that is part of what building God's kingdom is about. But another part of it is about seeking the flourishing of people, whoever they are, and whatever their relationship with God is. We want to see people flourish, just because that is the right thing to do, because that is what building God's kingdom is about, because they are made in the image of God. And we want to love them as God loves them. So that's why some of the things we're already doing, you know, seeking to see people be able to, you know, if English isn't their first language, we want them to be able to connect with the society in which they have found themselves in. You know, they might never come to church on a Sunday, but actually we want to see them flourish because that's what Jesus wants. And, you know, toddlers and tea in the afternoon, we want people to have fellowship and friendship and not to be lonely and have solidarity sometimes in a space that is quite a difficult season of life. We want to do that for people simply because in itself that is building God's kingdom. Yes, so we want to tell the story of Jesus and we want to see people flourish. And of course, as I've said, things like English class and tea in the afternoon and toddlers, helping at the night shelter, being a drop-off point for the food bank, they are all part of seeing God's kingdom being built, being Jesus' hands and feet to people. And building God's kingdom is also about possibly seeking justice in a wider context. So making the world a fairer place. We do that in our community by the things that I've already said. Feeding those who can't feed themselves. Working to give the marginalised a voice. We can see that in what we already do, but there's also potential in that phrase for maybe stepping out into a slightly wider context. It just sort of hangs there. And we'll see where that goes. There's a flexibility in it. So you can see in the vision that we've articulated here, and which we'll live with at least for the next 5 years before we come to sort of look at it again and see if God's bringing us something new. But you can see in this that we have things which are very much our comfort zone. As a church together, where, you know, that zone where St. Michael's has been very comfortably situated over many years, that are the realistic things for us to see as our vision. Those things which talk about care and compassion and kindness and love. I think we recognize are part of what God has called us to be in this place. And then there are the other parts, the community outward focused stuff, where St. Michael's has been growing into that, and we're still sort of finding our way into that. It's perhaps not quite as embedded in us as the other stuff. It's the more aspirational stuff. Real and realistic and true to who we are, but it's perhaps more our next stage of the journey as well. So this is our vision. Let me read it to you again. St. Michael's vision is to demonstrate in our actions that God loves all people unconditionally. We aim to join with God in the building of God's kingdom. We desire to be a church fully involved with our community who tells the story of Jesus, offers compassion and kindness to all, and who work to make the world a fairer place. So that's our vision. Next week, we will take a look at our values, how we do what we do. But for now, let's just take a moment's pause and pray to thank God for allowing us to step into God's imagination for St. Michael's and for showing us the next stage of our journey, for drawing us more and more towards the day when God's kingdom will come in all its fullness. So, loving God, thank you that you are the God of the big imagination. Thank you that you give us to be together a visionary community, to be those who are walking the world forwards into a time when your kingdom will have come in all its fullness, where there will be justice for all, where the world will indeed be a fairer place, where there will be kindness and compassion abundantly. So help us to walk in that way and to move forward with you into the place where you would have us be and to be the people that you have made us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.